Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness.
We do those weird video parodies on Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah, you know, Christmas jammies, that kind of stuff. They're a couple minutes long. They're meant to make you laugh. This is a podcast, a little bit longer, meant to make you laugh and also to think a little bit.
We are hoping you come away entertained, but also maybe have some strategies how to do life better. If you are enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe. It's a purple button on iTunes. Leave us a review. That really helps people find us. We read every single one of them. Thank you so much. And take a screenshot. Share it on Instagram. Tag us. I respond to every single one.
Speaking of strategies, today, we need to work on our sports watching strategy as parents. We take it a little more seriously than we should.
Well, also that was the goal of this podcast, to talk about like how we are as sports parents, but it turned into a very parenting strategy session. We invited one of our best friends at her name is Josette. She's Harvard educated, which means she's super fancy. And she brought up some really interesting just parenting, advice that I hadn't really thought of. And it really, there's a lot, it leaves you with a lot to think about, but also made me feel a lot better about what we're doing.
And it made me feel a lot worse because Kim accused me of something that you should never do in front of your children and other people.
Well, it's not illegal, so it's not like that bad.
It's very shameful.
Well, I mean, it's, but it's, yeah, you're not going to get arrested.
Cue the music!
Hello, yes, quite. This week is educational, yes, and it's intellectual. We have someone very knowledgeable to help with our confessional. Yes, we act kind of crazily when we watch our progeny performing athletically. So here is someone scholarly, yes. Oh, yes, she has a Harvard degree, quite. She speaks extemporaneously and helps us be less helicoptery. Let's just start the podcast. Whoopee! Oh, quite. Yes, yes, let's start it right now. Yes.
Do you feel sophisticated?
I feel so educated right now.
I mean, sometimes a song will do that for you.
I mean, I've been transported
even
to higher education.
That ridiculous
Ivy League.
Yeah. There's a reason for that, and we're gonna bring her out in just a moment. Not bring her out. It's not like she's in a cage or something. But anyway,
release.
Exactly. So today we're talking about sports and being parents.
And we're talking about this selfishly because we need this help, because I am not a good sports parent, I've learned. I have a really hard time watching my kids try and fail things. And then I've noticed there are other parents that have their own little tics and tricks too. So right. Although we're talking about sports, there's going to be a lot of growth mindset and all those fancy kid buzzwords.
Yeah, I think if I had a camera of myself watching a sports game and I could see it, I would not recognize that person. I'm transformed into a crazy. I take all of myself and I think I pour it into my child. Like I'm actually either on that tennis court or in that soccer pitch. Or
is that what
it's a pitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were you worried about that? I was going to say something else. Anyway, so we have this impressive friend.
I know.
All right. So we met her in preschool.
I know. So Lola and her son Jack were in the same preschool class, and then we became friends. And then all of a sudden, I realized she's way fancy. Welcome, Josette Huntress Holland.
Is that your middle name?
It's her maiden name.
It's my maiden name.
Josette Huntress Holland.
Went to Harvard to get her master's. And Josette, tell us, educate us, what was your master's degree in?
So it was a master's of education in human development and psychology with a specific concentration in gender, culture, and relational development.
I mean, how are we friends? I don't even understand this.
If you have a certificate for that, is it like a really like smart cursive, but then it goes off the side of the page and sort of goes down to the side?
And it has an arrow that says over.
Like the calligrapher ran out of space and had to go down for that part?
Exactly. That's what it looks like.
All I know is, and Josette has been Lola's teacher before. Right now, she is the head of
assistant head of upper school.
A school called Carey Academy in our area, which is super fancy. We don't go to that school now, but Josette has been Lola's teacher in the past. So all I know is if I had words that I needed to say, a tough parenting situation, I would just text Josette and say, tell me how to get out of this. Aww. Give me the script and the words to say, because I feel like you always know how to frame it. And you always, and it's always very helpful. So now you get to help a lot of
you're
people.
You're so nice. I just want to see you every day.
Every day. I know. Okay. So
you guys really like each other. It's very cute. It's
we
very
do.
Cute.
I'm and her I'm uneducated
like,
friend.
I like you guys too.
All right.
So
thanks, Penn.
Josette, as someone who's been around parents and children alike, have you seen some crazy stuff when it comes to sports in particular and parents?
Right. And yes, but it's not because we're not trying to be better, right? I think people all get it that we're doing these crazy things on the sideline. And like you said, Ben, if you had a video of yourself, you'd be like, I don't even recognize that person. And is this good for me? And is this good for my kid? Like, that's all going on in our head. And yet what comes out of our mouth is, shoot it over and over, which is, you know, not
going to actually help your kid.
No, it's not. And so there's some crazy thing. And I have a couple theories on that.
Okay, let's hear them.
That's why we brought you here.
That's great. Thank you.
Do they have names, like really long names?
They don't.
Okay, the unified specified derivative theory.
Right.
No,
it's I think this generation of parents, we get it and we're good at it, this concept of empathy. Like, so we are watching our kids and we feel what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And for example, the time that I may or may not have kicked a person on the other team as she was walking by, as my son was kicking the ball in a game, it may or may not have happened.
Wait, what? So you were watching a soccer game?
I was watching my son's soccer game and I realized at that moment, I got to turn this down a little bit because as he kicked the ball, I was kicking the ball and it wasn't
you were just like mirroring. Yeah,
subconsciously
I was,
mirroring
and
your
it
child.
Wasn't my fault she was wearing winter white. I mean, who does that?
Who does that?
After Labor Day.
Well, it was winter white, but still.
It's a cream.
I thought it was funny, and she didn't as much as I did. So at that moment, I was like, I think I know what's going on in here. And because I was an athlete, as were you all.
Ish. I mean, yeah.
And I hate the fact, you know, the idea when you're in the game, you can get the ball and you can do something about it. And when you're on the sideline, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Yet you still have all this empathy for your child. So you act it out in your own brain what's going on. And so you can't help it. You know, we're Americans. We don't do anything medium. So you can't help that you are agonizing if they're about to go take a penalty shot or if they're on the free throw line, you know, you're on the side, like experiencing that with them. Mm-hmm. So it's an empathy thing. I don't think we should beat ourselves up because we have empathy, but this is how it's going to play out.
Right.
I
think that I've been described as an empath and I feel, I feel people's like, I can meet you. And if you're feeling something, I will absorb it like a sponge.
Right.
So our daughter has taken up tennis.
Those are all the people cheering for her.
I know, they're cheering right now.
I really hope people heard that.
I know, there's people cheering outside.
We're in a new office, by the way. We're in downtown Raleigh now, so like we're around the local flavor. I'm kind
of
digging this
a
little bit.
So Lola has taken up tennis, which is great. I don't understand. I don't even know the tennis words. I don't know the sport. But all I know is my daughter is out there by herself. Most times, she's new at it, so a lot of times she's getting her butt kicked. And that is, she doesn't seem to care. She comes off saying, oh, that was fun. I am in agony.
Right. The entire, every point.
Every point.
Because you're living it with her. And if you think about how our group of parents parent, let's go way back, right, to the playground. We were like, hey, why don't you go on the playground? Hey, why don't you do this? Hey, why don't I solve this conflict for you? And so we chase our kids around the playground, whereas you and I used to sit on the corner in the on the bench and just kind of talk, and our kids could bleed, and if they were bleeding, they could come over to us, and that was fine.
Yeah.
But a lot of people chase their kids around, so they're really involved, and so they have this really strong connection to their kids, which is not a bad thing. But that's going to play out in extraordinary ways. In a very calm and classy sport like tennis, man, you're screwed because you can't say anything.
I know.
And you just have to stand there, and you can't coach, you can't make eye contact, you can't do anything
it's
with your
terrible.
Eyes.
I know. Right. I don't love the sport as a spectator.
Our daughter Lola has made the tennis team, and so she plays about a match a week, and we go to those matches. We also there's some on weekends that she goes to watch. And Kim wears sunglasses now and looks down.
I can't watch.
She projects as if she is watching the match. She looks down and she asks me questions. And when she does look up, things don't go well. Like I've heard you say stuff like, I'm done. I'm done.
I can't do this anymore.
And then she'll walk away.
Right.
You're saying a lot of that is related to the fact that that is a pressure cooker of a sport.
Is that
what you're saying?
That's a pressure cooker of a sport. But we're conditioned to be there for our kids. And that is a situation where we cannot be.
No.
And that we don't like that feeling of powerlessness.
But it's a great experience for the kid.
Right. If you think about it, for us too, as parents, because we get a chance. I used to do this presentation with my dear friend, who's no longer with us, Dr. Tammy Finch, and we used to do this thing called Toddlers to Teens, Developmental Parallels. So we would talk about how when they're a toddler and they fall down, we don't always run over and pick them up because we're like, well, they have to learn to get up on their own 2 feet, and they develop those muscles that way. And then somehow we forget that when they're teens, and whenever something goes wrong, we're like, oh my God, I gotta go fix this. And we sometimes, our love and our empathy gets in the way of them developing those muscles. So you standing on the sidelines and being there for her, like this ministry of presence thing, like you're there, but you're not doing it for her, is building for you in a really good way. And it's really building for her in a good way. Even if you have to be like, oh my God, I have to close my mouth, I don't know if I can do this, you're just being there in that situation is growing for both of you.
Yeah, there was a situation, Lola lost a match, which happens. People lose matches. She lost a match.
I mean, I never lost a match.
Right.
If you did, it's fine.
Probably not. Probably not. Anyway, so she lost a match, and she got off the court and was glowing. She was thrilled because she tried her best. She played really well. And Kim was basically a pile of embers and ashes on the side of the tennis court.
But I communicated. Like, I was like, baby, I am
absolutely
so proud of you.
Right.
You never let Lola see any of this. But because I know you and I'm married to you.
Oh, I was gutted. I was gutted. And I mean,
for her.
For her. Yes. But then she was like, oh, are we going to go get pizza? Like, she didn't care.
Isn't she going to be a great adult?
That's
amazing. She's going to be this amazing adult.
She better be. After all that, I'm kidding. No. But I think it's so funny. So we'll go to Penn now. So Penn will cheer. He doesn't know this, and I'm gonna. He doesn't even know he did this. When the other girl screws up.
No, I do not.
Yes, you do.
I cheer when the other girl does well. I cheer for everything.
No.
You're not supposed to do that in tennis, and I don't do that.
You do.
Double fault.
Yes.
Hold on a second.
Do I do it quietly?
No.
It's supposed to be quiet. This is my inside voice.
So funny story. So Penn and his brother were trying to sneak out of the house when they were like in high school.
This is my inside voice.
And his brother was he's a very deep voice, and he's like, hey, Penn, we better not get caught. And Penn goes, Dale, use your inside voice. You can say, this is my inside voice. So we just scream that a lot.
Right.
Can I also interrupt? There was never a deeper voice than Penn's voice last episode.
Sinus infection.
Oh, my God.
That'll do it for you.
Hi, by the way, hi, Max. Max is our producer, Max Trujillo. It's a familiar face on the other side of the microphone over there.
Hi.
So anyway, okay, so that's interesting that I cheer for other people. That's the number one rule. Is not to cheer for other people double faulting.
I think in a soccer game or a basketball, you don't cheer when the other kid misses the shot.
All right. Will you admit that I also just cheer for everything? Like if the other team scores, I say good shot.
Yeah. I would say in basketball and soccer and those experiences, mm-hmm. you absolutely are like an everybody gets a trophy type of parent. But in tennis, you are so because it's
I'm
such
completely unaware of this.
Yes, you are so tense. That you and another mom and I were sitting next to each other when they were playing, and we were laughing. I was like, oh, that girl just, like, she hit it out, and I was like, watch, Penn's going to cheer. And, like,
I thought I was, like, quietly doing fist pumps.
No.
All right, so you know there's probably some lord of tennis who walks around in, like, a blazer and an ascot who's going to, like, come
Not
by
in middle
and be
school,
like,
honey.
I held the... Yeah, anyway. I always consider myself kind of like the Raisman parents. Do you remember them from the Olympics? They were Ali Raisman. They did the shot to their parents.
That's me.
I connected very heavily with them because, again, they don't realize. I'm sure they watched that tape and thought, "What in the world
am I doing?"
You black out, and it's almost like a mind meld. Mm-hmm. You know, when they're out there, it's a connection. It's a great connection, but it's very unstable.
Yeah.
So define unstable, Penn. What do you mean? Not good for adults. Not good for kids. What?
It's. Well, you know how you discover a molecule in, like, a sci-fi movie, and you're like, whoa, this is awesome. It could also blow up a town.
Right.
Like, that kind of that kind of unstable.
Got it.
We
right.
could use it to harness energy for a whole city.
Right.
Or as a nuclear weapon.
Right.
Like, that's kind of how I feel when I'm...
Yeah, well, so did you kick a woman wearing winter white pants?
No,
no, you did
that
not.
That was you.
I did.
Dr. Holland.
Right. So we have this... think about the empathy that the Raisman parents had. They are living that with her. They're going... They are so proud of her and they're doing it. They feel her excitement. They feel her pain. There has to be a point, though, where, and I'm sure the Raisman family is there because they're professional athletes,
right. You
know, professional parents of a professional athlete.
Right.
So there has to be that sort of line where you say, okay, there has to be a way that my kid experiences this for herself without me. And that's really hard for us because we want our kids to pick themselves up and we want them to come out way and say, man, I screwed that point up, but I'm going to get the next one. We want them to have that resilience. And when you talked about Lola and she says, man, look at all the things I did right there. Mm-hmm. She's also saying, these are the things I'm going to work on because I know that kid. I know that's what she does. She's like, I'm going to work on that next time. So that's what you want. You want this whole Angela Duckworth, all this resilience building. You want her to have grit. But at that some point, we have to stop being part of that grit equation.
So what do we do?
I don't know. I have some magic sprinkle dust, and I say, okay, this is going to work.
Yeah.
Everyone's
just we need
normal.
To back off a little bit.
I don't think there's a couple things. Don't back off in your love and energy that you bring to her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what any psychologist would say. When you're on the sidelines, ministry of presence, you're there. That's an Ann Bonner Stewart reference. She always talked about the ministry of presence. When you're just there, that's good for kids. So don't back off on that, being there, being excited. But when it comes to Lola's getting older, she's going to need to take the lead a little bit more on how she frames the discussion of that match. So as she goes into middle school, when she begins by saying, man, that was awesome, and she lost, it's not the time for you to bring out your notepad and be like, well, let's talk about the fourth point and the eighth point. You know, all of those things. You want to let her lead the way. And she's going to then... She's going to go into the places where you don't want her to go, and it's going to be painful, like, I could have done better, and why am I not good enough? But she's going to be the one driving that train. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I mean, so Penn's school experience, he tried out for the basketball team, I think, six times?
Yeah.
Six times.
Seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade,
Man,
12th grade.
Duckworth would love you. You're so resilient.
Yeah,
so much grit.
So much grit. But then what do you say as a parent? Looking back now, I'm like, what an amazing life experience.
Yeah.
What this taught him. Mm-hmm. But as the parent of that kid who hasn't made it six times, what do you do? Like, what do you tell your kid when they come home crying six times?
Well, we know what not to tell your kid.
Right.
Everyone sucks but you kind of thing. You never want to go there. And you you never want
to. Like the coach has it out for you.
The coach has it out for you. And you start, you know, naming kids by name. And this is why they should. So you want to keep it about let the kid drive, right? Do you want to try this again? Do you, if it's something you want, little pen, if you really want to make that team, is it, are we going to look at a skills camp for you? Because we can, you know, if you have the means and you can afford that, or are we going to do what we can in the backyard? Are you going to build that way? And at some point, the child, when you give that kind of support, like you drive the train, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
They're going to say, you know what? Year-round soccer or year-round tennis, it's not my thing. And I've been doing it for a long time, and that was great, but it might not be my thing, and we've got to be okay with that.
Back to Little Penn. I did make the team,
congratulations.
Finally. But I didn't have the ability to do skills camps. I had parents who were really busy, didn't have a ton of money.
Sure.
I was really busy with my show choir.
And
synthesizers. Why are you laughing? Dun. Why is it like why did you suppress the laugh there?
Synthesizer's not going to play itself, Josette.
Yeah, I saw High School Musical. I know that they bounce a basketball.
Yeah, but it wasn't cool back then. I'm really bummed out that Glee and all this stuff is coming out now. I could have used you, Glee, in the 90s.
Seriously.
Didn't help me back then.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I finally grew and went through puberty when I was like 47 years old. And I was able to No, I did. I grew 6 inches from 10th to 12th grade. So
you couldn't fit in those like little show choir things anymore. They had to like make a custom suit for you.
Well,
probably.
You know, they do a lot of stretchy fabric.
A lot of lycra.
When we do the performing arts episode, I can speak as the expert who always did okay with that. Wait, whatever. Anyway, so for me, I didn't have a choice. You know,
right.
We are giving our kids every single possible opportunity to succeed to the point that I almost feel like, if they're not grateful for it, I want to back off and say, you're on your own.
Right.
I haven't done that yet.
Right.
Because, do you know where I'm going with
this? Yeah.
Okay.
So, gratitude is something that I know it's very important to your family. It's very important to ours as well. And I also understand when it comes to having the means to support kids through their talents or whatever, that we have a position where we can do things that other families can't. And yet there's some amazing athletes that come out of all types of different sizes and shapes of families. So the relationship that you build with your kids around sports has to do with the sport and the kid's ability. And when we start to put our own abilities and our own experiences in sports into the mix, it's a little bit much to put on a kid's shoulders. And I think that, for example, when you and my husband, Thomas, play tennis, you guys are really good. Like, you're really good.
Well, he bagels me every time.
That means the Penn scores no points.
Zero, yeah. Your husband's really
that
good.
That means bagel is zero.
But, well, it's true. Well, okay, so you're really, like, you guys have fierce competition with each other. And it's so much fun to watch you guys enjoying that with each other. And can you imagine if you folded and you never wanted to play with him again after he beat you? Like, there's something about you that you learned that you want to keep coming back
for
more.
I actually use him as an example all
do
the time.
You? Oh, any that's time,
no, honestly, no, any time my kids are like, I got my butt kicked, I'm like, well, Tom beats the hell out of me every time we play tennis. And,
and I come back for more.
No, I love it. I'm like, when are we going again? Because I learn so much. By playing someone better than me, I learn so much. That's a really hard thing, though, for an 11-year-old to grasp onto, don't you think?
Of course it is, but it doesn't mean we need to bury that lesson.
Yeah.
So there's three little boys who watch you two play every time you play. Right. And those boys see their dads laugh and they see them struggle and they see them bounce back. And so what do you think that they're going to do? They're going to do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things when you said we're going to talk about sports and our kids, and I said there's a lot of times that we're watching our kids play sports. And the good thing about us that we're healthy enough is that they can watch us play sports, too. Now, if they watch you and I play tennis,
there's more wine involved.
I know. We're more talking than anything. And they're like, can you please send the ball back to me, Mom? Okay. Like,
okay.
But so they get to see you, too, and you're modeling that all the time. If we're only fans and if we're only in cheering our kids in places where we have to be loud and cheering, we're not creating a normal environment for our kids, too. Like, your kids do lots of things where you don't cheer them on and give them points. right? They do lots of things where you're just like, holy cow, I really appreciated when you did that. And they're like, yeah, Mom, I appreciate when you did this too. And on a good day, right? That's what they say. So
I think that happens.
So we have to normalize and have experiences where they're not getting the immediate roar of a crowd as approval.
And speaking of that, what is your what's your feeling on like the everybody gets a trophy, everybody gets a ribbon situation?
Right.
Boy, I gotta be careful with
she adjusted to describe her body language change, and she adjusted.
She just shifted from one cheek to the other.
I did. There was cheek shifting.
Yeah.
Because my son, he did the bless him. He has many talents. Swimming was like a hard one to learn. We did these swim meets mostly just to force him in the water, and he would be the last one, and everybody would be cheering for him when he died, because he was so far the last one. And so he's like, oh, and then they would hand him a ribbon, and he's like, oh, I won. And so, and then I'm like, so then he wouldn't continue to try. So I saw the cycle, and I'd have to say to his, like, at the time, like, six-year-old, hey, sweetie, that actually does not, that says participant.
Get closer to the mic, because this is what it was like. You were, like, whispering it into her ear.
Hey, sweetie. That says participant. You do not win. And I don't want to be like,
you're not a winner.
You're not mommy's little boy. But he's like, oh, cool, I won. I don't have to actually try. So I'm like, I don't want to like crush you totally, but you suck at swimming.
So that was internal. And what came out was, you're a participant. I'm so glad you tried. And you didn't drown. Oh my gosh, that's great.
Yay.
You made it through. So as a coach, I've also coached, and I've also handed out, because of the organization within which I was coaching, handed out trophies to everyone. And so I handed out the trophies and made sure that every kid knew, as I handed the trophy, how he or she contributed to our team.
Yeah, I love it when that happens. Like when they give you like specific stuff for the trophy.
You gotta do it. Like
you were here.
You showed.
You are going to be a great graphic designer. And I'm so glad you're on my team. You know, so what you do is, your pivot was excellent, and it improved throughout the year. So you have to make it real, because kids have a BS meter. And all of a sudden, they come to that age, whether it's 9 or 10, and they're getting a trophy for everything, and their BS meter goes ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
And they're like, wait a minute, this is inauthentic. And if we're on the road to authenticity, and if we're on the road to resilience, a trophy for showing up and just not contributing without any emphasis on how they contributed is a dangerous place to be.
Okay.
That's
so what's
my two
the over
cents
under?
On that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's fine. Give us the over under. What's what's the age when it's not okay?
Let me go back to my Harvard professor Carol Gilligan and Lynn Michael Brown, who talked about the loss of voice between girls, for example, between the ages of 9 and 11. You ask a 9-year-old girl, "Hey, who can draw?" Everyone's like, "Woo, I can draw, I can draw." And then you ask that same group of girls at 12 years old, "Hey, who can draw?" And the only maybe one or two girls will raise their hand, because they're interpreting the question with all the social lenses of who can draw well, who you think you're so much better than everybody else that you're drawing, so they won't raise their hand, right?
Whoa.
And so that loss of voice and silence between 9 and 12, as we have our 11-year-old children, right?
Yeah.
So is starting to happen, and you want to eliminate all the things that are inauthentic as possible, because she can sniff them out, and if you condone it, then she's going to look at you like, okay.
Like she's not going to trust us.
The BS-ometer.
They can sniff it out, I'm telling y'all. And they know that you know. Now, there are sometimes, of course, when you need political acumen and you need to behave in a way that's, you know, you don't walk up to someone and be like, you know, we would have won if you didn't stink so bad. You know, while that may be true that you have varying levels of ability on your team, there's some ways that you just got to keep that inside. I think that the idea of trophies for everyone sets up a precedent that we can't sustain into adulthood, nor should we.
Right. Mm. So maybe the ribbon at age 6 is totally fine.
Totally fine. But in that loss of voice, and you think about what's happening to our boys at the same time, they're getting all these hyper-masculine messages that say you've got to be this and you've got to be that, you've got to be the best. And what happens if they've always gotten trophies and always had this like bubble, and they finally get to a spot where they don't make a team, or they don't get elected class, you know, they're not going to have any resources to fall back on, and they're going to have kind of this hollow sense of accomplishment with all of these Now, I will say that my kids do have, we have participated in leagues and where everyone gets a trophy, and my kids are excited when they get them, but there comes that line where it doesn't mean anything anymore.
They don't value it.
They don't.
But also, you're saying that the kids need to lose.
I do. You know, they need to be bored. They need to lose. They need to fail and not think of failure as the F word. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this old French saying that says...
Les sujets...
So close.
No.
It's really close to
Are
that.
Are you going to say it in French? And I can try to translate it?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
On n'est pas fait d'omelette sans casser des œufs.
One cannot make an omelette without the house Ham. Of eggs.
Without breaking
oh,
some
breaking.
Eggs.
Oh, breaking. Okay. So, like, I should have known that. Wait, I know. Like,
you cannot make an omelet without
casa
ham.
Casa is Spanish. Sorry.
That's right. Yeah. With a house of
One
eggs.
One cannot make an omelet without breaking eggs.
That's right. So, okay. So that's a little cheesy, but if you think about failure and the sports are the perfect place for that because the stakes are relatively low. I love my three athlete children, but the stakes are low at this point. If they lose a game, they've just lost a game. They haven't lost, you know, a $300,000 scholarship to a D1 school. So sports are the perfect way to build resilience and to be the driver of their own train. They can figure out what works for them, what doesn't work for them. They can figure out, read their parents. They can figure out how to get along with other people. Sports are the perfect way to build that resilience.
Can sports be a manner of punishment? That's my next question. I'm going to move over to our 8-year-old.
What?
Okay.
My son, who takes his clothes and sets them out before every game or every basketball game or football game.
He has
game
a soccer game on
game.
Saturday and or Sunday, and his like shin guard's already lined up on his bed floor.
So cute. That's so cute.
Cutest.
He watches every possible sport that he can. I think
with
part
you.
Of yeah. Oh yeah. And I know what that is, and I love it, and I'm eating it up right now. I'm really enjoying it. But when he's being a turd, we have withheld sports participation from him as a punishment, and it devastated him.
Mm.
And I just wanted to ask you if we are terrible parents.
Of course not. Of course you're not terrible parents.
I felt terrible. Like, that was a tough one. Like, he cried, and I was like, wait, let's just, like, no.
Yeah,
so and then Kim,
I take it back.
Kim is my rock. Yeah. She's like... Sack up. Come
right.
Like,
so disciplining your parents is disciplining your parents. Disciplining your kids.
I never
discipline my parents. They're so nice. That's hard. Disciplining your kids is really hard. And it's tough when they know they messed up and they're really sorry. And then you just have to, you can't sweep it under the rug because you're saying, hey, you're sweet and you're cute and you're really sorry. So let's pretend it didn't happen. That's not an adult, you know, a message that we want adults because, you know, look what happens when people with no accountability grow up to be adults. And then there you go. Right? And so we have...
That was a moment between Josette and Kim that I totally understand, that many of you understand, and we're just going to leave it at that.
Right. And so we have the perfect place. And so what I would do, and Penn, you know that I love you. I'm not saying this because I
know
that was a bad
next,
decision.
I know what's coming next, something that I've done wrong.
No, okay. I would say it will work for a while, but it's going to be a slippery slope. Because all the things that he could do wrong are going to multiply exponentially when he's a teenager.
Yeah.
And if going for the thing that he really loves is going to be that tool for you, you might not be able to come back on some of the promises you make. Like if you say, hey, you can't go to the soccer game if you don't get B's or if you hit your sister one more time or something like that. And then he does it because his prefrontal cortex is not developed and he's a teenager and all teenagers are, you know, working through their impulsivity and their decision making. Like, you don't want to put anything out there with what he loves that you can't walk back. So, and you know, we're not perfect in this, but we have always said, and maybe we're going to regret this, but we have always said that sports are not anything that we're going to use as a bargaining chip for our kids' behavior.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's going to work for us, but it seems to be that that's sort of that sacred area for our three. And Andrew plays 3 sports. Jack plays 4 sports. Sophie plays 3. I mean, they're sports kids. And for us to make the commitment to say, this is what we're not going to be. It was Thomas and I decided that that's just how it's going to be. And there are temptations because you got grades. you got behavior, you've got eye rolling, all of these things that your teenagers or, you know, other, they're just going to bring to the table. So I don't ever want to put sports on the table for that, nor would I want to put Glee Club or anything show choir, because can you imagine if someone had said to you, if you roll your eyes at me, I'm going to take away show choir. You're going to be like, what?
But this Lycra is so stretchy and form fitting. How do I take it off?
You guys hate and you hate and you hate.
I love it.
I'm sorry.
And yet I happened to win two regional competitions and one national competition.
You did?
Is this what we put on my own?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't me. It was our whole show choir. But I
see, they counted on you, right?
I mean, I did a couple of solos, yeah.
What was your favorite solo?
It was All I Ask of You.
Let's hear it.
From Phantom. Do you know that?
Phantom, yeah.
Yes.
Wait, can you do the girls part?
I know,
no more talk of sadness. Forget these wide-eyed fears. I'm here. Nothing can hide you. My thing will warm. And that's not the right words.
I haven't sing that song.
My thing will what?
Let me be your something.
Let daylight light.
Your things.
And sail. Yeah, anyway, so it's like, why don't we?
Wow, that took a turn. That was beautiful. You have a beautiful voice.
I'm a backup singer. I'm not a headliner like Penn.
Wait, so you actually do have a good voice.
Yeah, you do.
What do you suck at?
I know. I feel like you're really good.
We should get to the bottom of this. You're really good at everything.
I'm a real person. I feel the same way about you. So you just need to know that.
Well,
you don't listen to our podcast enough.
Obviously. Thanks, friend.
I do.
I don't know. Where do you come down on this? Where? About a parent missing a game intentionally, like on occasion. Like letting your children play a game without their parents present.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good, bad, indifferent thing?
That inevitably will happen. I mean, have you said, hey, little one, I'm not going to your game today because I'm just going to hang out with the kids. I'm going to paint my face and stay at home.
No, not go because you want them to play the game without parent
pressure.
Interaction.
Right.
Parent,
you know, that's
pressure.
Great for kids. That's great. And, it all depends on the situation. If they've had a really bad morning, that might not be the morning that you do that. Mm-hmm. Or if they're feeling really independent, you can say, all right, you know, I can read this. Maybe I'll stay home. But not like you want it to be meaningful time. You don't want it to be a situation where your kid is so dependent on you being there that he or she cannot function without you there. So, yeah, practice different situations. Certainly if you have an athlete who goes off to college and they're, you know, playing in college, you're not at every game. You can't be at every game. And it's not like, well, you're six. I have to prepare you for your career in college. But you want to be able to allow them a little bit of space to grow independently. And, you know, parenting styles at games differ. Your style is different than my style. It's very different from Thomas. He sits alone.
No.
On the edge.
Stop.
That surprises me zero.
Yeah.
By the
Are
way.
You?
Just yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he's got all these things going. He's Thomas, yes. The smartest person on the planet. He probably already knows
next
how
to Joseph.
No, like he's like Neo. He knows how the match has already ended, and he's like sitting over there like.
He does count cards.
Yeah.
He does.
So he stands and he knows this, right? So he knows that he needs to be in his little space and he can process everything in his own internal way, introverted over here. And I take this is one of the times when my extrovert side comes out, and I'll take my chair and I'll plop it right in the middle of the mom row.
Nice.
I know everyone's name. I'm like, all right. So we externally process the entire game. We yell really positive things to both players and coaches. I've asked my kids, do you hear me yell? And they're like, yeah, Mom, I hear you yell. But I mostly hear your friend Ashley yelling. She's really loud. So they hear us, and they, you know, at least they're not, like, dependent on us coaching. Like, I'm so happy that my kids have coaches.
Right.
I'm so happy for that. And I would never presume to know more than his soccer coach or her soccer coach. So I'm not saying things like, shoot it. And I will... You know, she said, don't yell any verbs. So we're just saying things.
Mm-hmm. No verbs.
That's going to be hard.
Yeah, it is.
Tennis, good. Ball. net. That's really hard to do.
What's soccer? We have now soccer. He's starting soccer.
Adjectives.
No verbs.
No verbs.
Nice shot.
Nice shot.
That works.
That's
okay.
An adjective
that's
and a noun.
Okay.
So you have.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, and instead she said no verbs, and
that's I'm gonna be doing this over you talking the entire time.
That's
I'm
great.
Sorry.
That's her coaching style, and I'm so glad that Sophie has a coach like that who's going to teach her things. I'm really also glad.
Wrong decision. It's not a verb. Yeah.
No.
Your kids hear that. So I teach ninth grade English, right? And I just gave this writing assignment where kids had to write about. They had to plunk us down in the middle of a moment and describe smells, sounds, all these things about. And so one super amazing athlete, known by everyone for being this amazing athlete, wrote about coming off the field and seeing his dad's posture.
Oh.
Right? And he was like, I saw my dad's posture and I was like, oh, man. And he looked down, he started wiping all the mud and the blood off his legs and, you know, signifying that he'd played his heart out. And he saw his dad's posture and he's like, oh, man. So this whole story is the lead up as he's walking to his dad. And then his dad gets to him and he doesn't say anything because they had just lost the game. So, but that was not important to him. So they're walking in silence to the car and he's like steeling himself for what it sounds like and what it feels like and how he's going to disappoint his dad. And they get in the car and it's quiet. And his dad turns around and he hands him a Chick-fil-A bag and he said, you know, son, I'm really proud of you. And the boy said, that was the best Chick-fil-A I've ever had in my entire life. So he's reading this in class and I'm crying. I got goosebumps. And then he's like, yeah, that's my essay. And I'm like,
peace.
Oh my God. Okay. So, I mean, kids get it. They know exactly where we are with them. They want us to be with them in a way that makes sense and validates who they are. And we're not just about the sport and the player, but that, man, they gave it their all. Like he said, if we go through all the list of things I did wrong, that's just going to crush me. I just want to be with my dad right now.
Yeah.
So
I'm getting goosebumps.
I know, but like Venus and Serena's dad, I mean, they
would have had different. Oh, God, we better not get into that one. That's,
they would have different. I mean, I know. I love Serena. Okay, yeah, but different parenting. Anyway.
Can I end with something like what might be a funny question? Okay, so we're going to end with a question that is a little unusual when we're talking to people about sports. So Kim and I went to Denver last year to stay with friends, and they asked us to go to both of their kids' soccer games.
It was a weekend,
right?
So,
right. It was a beautiful day. It was really fun. So the morning we got there, and there was a team that their son Hayden was on. And by the time the game was over, I knew the names of all of the players on Hayden's team and was shouting at all of them. And I mean, but like positively, like nice shot, Hayden. Good job, Carlos.
Wrong decision.
I never said wrong decision.
Yeah.
But like it got to the point where the other parents, like they had met
you're
me.
Like, who
and
are
I think
you?
They thought I was a little bit creepy because I knew the names of all of these 8-year-olds. So as someone who really likes sports and loves watching his kid, should I lay off the comments on other kids even if they're positive, or is that okay?
I don't have an answer to that, Penn, but I think there might be a time when your kid looks at you and say, oh, my God, Dad.
I think that time is probably already here.
The time is now.
Because what might happen is that one of your children might have a crush or something on someone, and they might be like, oh, my
that's
God.
That's a whole nother episode.
You've added a layer to that. So you want to... Just be you, be enthusiastic. I think your children would be really freaked out if all of a sudden you turned into someone you weren't, right?
Not what I'm not, though.
Okay.
There's a lot of double... Yeah, there's a lot of negatives.
We are not doing negatives.
Yeah.
No, but like if you were all of a sudden silent and like putting your hands down at your side,
gotcha.
they would be like, what's wrong with Dad? Is he sick? Does he have a fever? But if you were to just continue to be and take your cues from them, I mean, Lola's really smart. She can read people like I've never seen before. So when she says, hey, Dad, I really like it when you cheer for me like this, can you lay off on making nicknames for my opponents. You know, she might give you that.
I don't make nicknames for their opponents. I have made a nickname
yet.
Other nicknames. But anyway. Okay. So thank you so much. We're gonna bring you back for the hormone episode.
I know.
We were just like glossing on there for like a little bit later.
Well, so I have a friend Hope who's a pediatrician, and she Jared's mom.
Oh.
Yeah. And she's like my parenting guru, and there are so many times when, you know, her superpower is coming in and saying the thing that I need. So even though sometimes I'm that for you and you're that for me, she could be that for both of us too.
I mean, I love a tribe. And I feel like this is going to be in the whole conversation about girls not having the confidence to raise their hand. I mean, that's
seriously right.
I mean, that's a whole. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We could do this for like hours and hours and hours.
But we have to go home to our children.
Oh, God, they're
terrible. All right. Thank you so much for watching, listening. Why do I always say that? I feel like I've like turned into a news anchor toward the end. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
Josette, thank you.
Thank you.
Max Trujillo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.